Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in Internet Radio Land. Have you missed me? It's only been 5 years since I did my last show. How many times I said, I need to start doing this again, but never did it. But now the world circumstances have caused me to think and rethink doing this and a whole lot more. And so I plan on coming to you almost every day with guests, with talk, with thoughts, with inspiration, with whatever I can come up with that I can put your way that people can access and hopefully God can use to encourage people, inspire people, equip people during this season and during this time. And today my guest, I'll be bringing her on in a few minutes, Jeanette Anderson. We haven't talked in a while, but I feel like, I mean, there was nothing wrong. We just went our own ways. And so when she was writing me the other day on Facebook, I said, I need to interview you. And then I thought, well, how would I interview her? So I went back in my blog radio accounts, and I had three of them at one time because I was doing three shows every week, and went into one of them. Then lo and behold, it was still active. And so I went on Facebook and talked about it and said I need $400 to kind of get set up and get the service and the bells and whistles that are the minimum that I need to do this. And within 4 hours, I had the money. So I thought, okay, Lord, you are saying something to me. And so then I went back, and the intro you heard from Wake Up to Purpose was a morning AM radio show that I had a couple of years ago. And so I had an interview on my website. So my friend Greg Hughes, I sent him the file. He was able to take the open and the close and pull it off and send me separate files. And so, again, everything just flowed. And so here we are today, March 29th, 2020, in the midst of a situation that the world has never seen and never beheld. And so we would just want to keep connecting every way that we can. If you follow me on Facebook have seen the last 2 weeks, almost every day I have done a Facebook Live, and I will pick that up again tomorrow on March the 30th. I'm not going to do one on Sunday, at least that's my plan right now, so I don't step on online church services that are going on and interfere with them in any way. But if you've watched me on Facebook Live, you know that I start I start every show almost at the beginning with reading Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is not a luxury. It's not something we read from a distance. It's not something that applies to other people. It applies to every one of us. And so I thought I would keep the same tradition on the blog radio for as long as it is necessary, starting out reading Psalm 91. And it's interesting. I've read this so many times, and I've been reading it every day over the last couple of weeks. But the last few days, I've had insight out of it that I didn't see before. And so it never hurts for us to keep going back over things that we need to know and to stir up, and by way of remembrance, the faith that we need to have during this day. Psalm 91 says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So I am reading that for myself, for my family, for my extended family, and especially our partners in Kenya, where I have worked for the last number of years. And part of the reason why I didn't feel like I could continue a show a few years ago, because I was traveling so much. I got this email from one of our partners today, Pastor Peter, he said, Dear Dr. John, here we are well and trying to cope with the situations, but things are not good. Most of the businesses are closed down, people have lost their jobs, and churches are closed. With all this happening, people are starting to be anxious and frustrations are piling up. Today we have reached 42 confirmed cases and 2,500 under mandatory quarantine. This is not good, and the government has confirmed its health facilities are stretched to the limit. We don't know what is next, but we are looking to a possible shutdown sooner than we expected. The challenge is a majority of our people live hand to mouth, and therefore hunger is going to be our greatest threat and source of conflict. Please pray with us that a solution will be found soon. May the peace of God be with you as it remains with us. Shalom, Pastor Peter. If our system is going through what we are going through, our hospital system, our health system, I shudder to think what will happen in Africa. I was reading a report, and I have a friend who's in Parliament in South Africa, and I was reading a report today that they have locked things down. They are using troops to send and disperse people because people are not taking it seriously. But they have 1,100 cases there, and we have seen here how quickly this escalates. So we'll pray at the end of the show. Pray, and I just encourage you, as you pray for yourself and your family, as you should do, remember others in your prayer time, and I'll try and keep you up to date through Facebook and through these shows and other means of what's going on. Last week I did raise some money. They have not asked me for it in Kenya, and I have not sent it yet, but I can send it instantly whenever they ask. There is no delay. I have an app that it will put it right into their account, and they can use their cell phones to spend it. In fact, this app called me on Friday and said, we're calling some people who over the last year you've given in excess, you've sent more than $50,000, and we just need to see who these people are. And so I went through each one of the pastors, each one of the orphanages, and this is part of the Patriot Act after 9/11 to see where money is being sent and for what reason. So I had to send some other documentation. But I'm able to do that because of generous supporters and donors who have given over the years and over the last year, and I may ask you to give again. And so we'll talk more about that. But right now, as was my custom, I'll kind of start every show with a little update. But right now, let me go ahead and bring Jeanette Anderson, our guest for today. We'll bring her on. Hi, Jeanette. Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose.
Hi, Dr. Stenko.
Well, it is so good to hear your voice. How long has it been? It's been a few years since we chatted.
I vaguely remember that we actually had a long conversation like in 2009, 2010, because I was at another place of making decisions. Mm-hmm. And I literally was a little apprehensive, and I called you on the phone and said, hey, you know, these are my choices. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, it's not like we were far apart. I mean, you know, we're just ready to pick up where we left off, because there was a day back in the early 2000s we were seeing one another and talking to one another regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask, you live in the Dallas area. What's the take down there? What are you hearing? What are you sensing where this pandemic is concerned?
Well, I'm sort of isolated in my home, but I do live at Irving. My son happens to be a fireman at DFW Airport, and I probably get a better feel from him about what's going on. I can tell you early last week, like Monday or Tuesday, there were people telling us that if you drove into downtown Dallas, that people, you could be stopped. There were definitely stores where people met you out front and said, no, we're closed, or we're only letting in 25 people. So for me, I was actually prepared. I've only gone out once or twice this week. I've got enough food, and you stay in contact with everybody basically with Facebook and cell phones,
uh-huh,
and just make
uh-huh
sure we're all okay. But I do know I got out and visited a friend last night, and as I was driving home, the thing that hit me is there was just no one on the street. I mean,
uh-huh,
it just gives us sort of an eerie feeling. So
uh-huh
people are trying to be isolated. It's very different. It's very different. We've
yeah
never been here.
No, the world has never been here. I went for a walk this morning, and usually I see lots of, not lots, but, you know, cars going. It was just nobody in my neighborhood, nobody up on the main road where I was walking, and it is a very, very different time. And I don't think, in my opinion, it's going to end anytime soon. I think this is going to have to run its course, whatever that means, and then we're going to have to go
mm-hmm
through a period of, you know, kind of seeing what's happening and be convinced that it has pretty much stopped before we are released to
mm-hmm
go and do. And you know how much I took for granted, you know, just how much, just on a day-to-day basis and my travels, and I assumed the things I was doing, I was always going to be doing, and tomorrow was going to be pretty much like it was today. And suddenly all that has come to a grinding halt, and it's
mm-hmm
really sobered me, and I'm sure it has you and a lot of other people too.
I do, though. You know how you said for a long time we've got to do church different? I did
mm-hmm
laugh at something last night. My son and daughter-in-law are a part of the prayer ministry at our church here in the Metroplex, and they watched church online last night. And so normally at the end of the service, they ask all the prayer, you know, captains to come down. So they got up on TV with the ending of the service, and they literally put it on Facebook and said, if you'll text this number, someone will pray with you. And I thought about your
uh-huh
statement, well, let's
uh-huh
do it a new way. Let's do it a different
yeah
way. And it was just, there were so many people who commented, like, that's church at home, but there are still people out there that will pray with you if you need it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's
different way
it's,
to do
it's,
it.
It's,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we didn't do it when we had the option. I wouldn't say we didn't. Many people were, but I would say the majority were not. Now we're going to have to make some you know permanent changes. But I think the Lord is in that, and I think
mm-hmm
I don't know why. But I've said for many years the internet is his instrument. I think he's wanted the church to use it. I think because many people have used it for trivial purposes, it's turned a lot of people off. But I think there are important usages, and I've tried to use it as a broadcasting publishing entity for sharing what it is that the Lord is showing me, and I think a lot more people are going to have to take that seriously. But let's talk a little bit about you. Tell our listeners about Jeanette Anderson. Give us an overview of everything we would ever need and want to know about this wonderful woman, Jeanette Anderson.
Well, I think to not belabor it, I think probably the highlights was I started out in the legal field as a certified legal assistant because I type extremely fast. I'm a keyboardist. And after many years of doing that, I was working so much overtime, something had to change. Like I was a mother also and a wife. So I went back to college and made my hobby, or I should say my gifting, my career. And I went back and I became a music teacher for the public school system. So you came into my life. I just spent 10 years in the public school as a music. I'd been an elementary music teacher, and I'd been a middle school teacher. And I went through this really major event in my own personal life. And so I literally changed careers. I left the school district, and I went to work for a church. And that's where you came into my life, because it was definitely a transition place for me. I knew that I wanted to someday be in leadership, but I had to say I'd taken leadership classes, not in a professional world. I'd done things in my church, but not in my job. So you came in, and I've never forgotten the first thing that you immediately, we had to go through personality testing. And, you know, you told me, you know, you're an I, and that shows you're a creator, and that falls very much within the music. And this is the next thing, like you have a little bit of S down here, but it's quite a bit, you know, and you probably need more of that to be a leader. And so you begin taking me through who I was naturally, but you also begin to show me what my weaknesses were. And it was hard. I needed more S. I needed D. I needed some of the C. I needed these different components to really be a good leader. But as we went through that time, I think the thing that has always hit me the most and really was a life-changing thing for me, because you kept saying, what is your purpose and what does God bless you with? What are you gifted in? And that just began to be, every time we do a musical with the children at the church, that gifting would rise really high because it was something that God's hand was on me. But the day-to-day running, you know, on a ministry and doing those things, I was such a beginner there, and there were so many mistakes I made, and there were things like I felt not good enough. Like it really affected me to a point that, you know, we had a conversation one day, and I just remember, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I literally walked away from the school district thinking, that was a season of my life. I could go back into the legal field and start working again, or I could look for something else. But I really left that job not knowing where I was going to go, but I knew it was the right thing. Now, I have to be honest, I don't know at the time. I totally knew it was the right thing, but I think in the bottom of my heart, I did. And here's where God steps in. I left that job, came home to my house, and not a week passed, somebody physically came to my front door and knocked on my front door and said, are you ready to come back to teaching music in Irving? And I thought, you know, like, did this just seriously just happen? Like somebody came to my house, like I didn't apply for a job. So everything opened up. I went back, and immediately the principal who I'd known when I first started teaching said, you know, Jeanette, you've got to get your master's, and you need to go back and get it in leadership. As long as you're in music, you'll never be considered leadership because you're not a core. So go back. Let's get your master's. So I actually went to Dallas Baptist and got my master's as a principal, knowing I went into it really not wanting to be a principal but wanting to be a leader in the field of fine arts. And so when I finished that again, I mean exactly again, I finished in May, my phone rings. In July, somebody from CF&I said, your name was turned into us as being one of our potential vocal professors. Now, they did not know that when I met you in that season, we made a list of what you want in your future. And in that list of 10 things, I wrote, I want to someday teach at a college. So this lady calls me and says, can you come in for an interview on August 8th? And I'm like, sure. I'm like, I'm sort of dumbfounded. Yeah, you know, yes, I can come in. And then the same week, within like 2 days before August the 8th, I get another phone call from the school district that says, we understand you have your master's now. Would you like to be a technology specialist, an instructional technology specialist with Irving ISD? Can you come for an interview on August the 8th? So I went that morning to CF&I, went to the interview, and I'm telling you, the presence of God filled the room, and this lady said, can you come and work with us in the evenings? Because we know you're still employed with the school district. And I said, sure, I can commit to twice a week. I would love to work with college vocal and piano students. So I drove home and went to the second interview, and I walked in the interview, which, if you understand about contracts with educators, you can't get out of your contract after June 30th. Like, you're committed for the next year. And I walk into this interview, and this lady says, we want to hire you, like, now. And I said, well, what about my contract? She says, it's a promotion. Who cares about your contract? Like, you're going to be an ITS. Call your principal and tell him he's got to hire somebody to take your place. So I spent the next 6 years learning media. Like, I had already been involved in musicals at my church. I was now in a church where I was a part of writing musicals. So for 5 different sessions, we wrote musicals and we presented them. So I was a part of the choir. You know, I was the choir director there, and I was literally instrumental in teaching them the music. There was a drama director. There's a choreography person. So in my church world, this music is happening, and I'm going to CF&I 2 to 3 nights a week to still teach me. So my hand is still in music. But in the daytime, I'm doing broadcast, and I'm doing technology, and I'm teaching people how to do technology, and it's like, can it get any better than this? Well, God's going to throw a twist in there, because that's just God. I mean, it's like, you think you could sit here for 20 or 30 years? He's like, man, I am so not done with you. I'm not done with you. And I got contacted in 2010. Irving ISD was getting ready to open the largest net zero school in the United States. And one of the people at the ad building knew me, and they literally said, we want Jeanette Anderson to come out of ITS and open that building as the choir director, to be the first choir director in the dream school. So the process of things, I realized God's putting me back in a classroom for whatever reason. Walked into a classroom with 7 students in varsity choir, one boy and 6 girls. I'm telling you, I'm like, how do you? And had 6th graders and 7th graders, and did a combination of very creative things that year. So by the time we roll around into the spring for what we call our sweepstakes season, you're going to UIL, and you know, you're a brand new school. You're not going to get sweepstakes your first year out. And I combined an 8th grade girls choir with those 7 people. And then the boy didn't sing. He said, hey, let me carry bags. I'll do your media. I'll do all that stuff. And we went in through a process of several things, and they got sweepstakes. And I knew the day that happened, I'm back. Like, I really enjoyed being an IT director, but that was not God's hand. It just, he said, I've got something more. Well, that very same year, we went to what we call our spring meeting. That's when all the choir directors within the, it's called TMEA Region 20 here in the Metroplex. We all came together for our spring meeting, and it's the second meeting I've gone to, so I don't really know everything going on. I'm still brand new. And the office of secretary for the region came up, and a lady looks at me and says, Jeanette, you want to be the secretary? Well, remember, I spent all those years working for attorneys. I thought, I know how to be a secretary. Like, I do know how to do that. I said, sure. Never realize that God was going to put me in that position, and I was going to start being a part of writing handbooks for the region, putting on competitions, assisting the coordinator any way that I could. I mean, that was going to be my job. And so I'm working at the college, I'm working with my choirs, and they're being successful every single year. I'm working with, you know, I have student teachers who come in. I'm mentoring within the district, later on asked to be the lead teacher for the district. So that way I really mentor the other middle school directors under me, and I help set up competitions and events and things like that. And so I went on doing it just, you know, the negative for me was my work became my life. I did that, and I went to church, and I really, you know, the one thing you said years ago is like, hey, you got to have play in there somewhere. Well, I didn't have play. To me, church, that was, I guess, I thought that was my play. Mm-hmm. And in 2017, I just was sort of done, and I said, hey, can I go to the high school? And they had just opened up these new positions as a high school assistant. And I went into that, and then I went back to my next region meeting, and I really walked in with the idea of, let me resign from the middle school portion. I'm sort of done. I've done this. I've done bylaws and competitions and, you know, weeks where I would go 3 to 4 weeks with no weekend off, teaching school all week, and then we're in competitions if I'm in church all day Sunday. I was just tired. And I walked into a dinner one night, supposed to be the last time we all get together as leaders and decide what the next year looks like. And I'm walking in, and I've already said I'm resigning. I'm through. I know my time is not up. I've got another year, but, you know, I have somebody else take over. And I'm going to go into the high school section and just sit on the back row when we have these meetings. To have the high school head tell me, the high school chair said, the person in the middle school that was supposed to take over the next 2 years for chair had resigned. They had walked away from teaching. They were going to go into another career, and which meant that there was nobody in line to take over. So they had called the state of Texas and talked to the vocal chair, and they said, what do we do? Our chairperson has stepped out and actually taking another job. The one that's stepping up is now walking away from the district. That means there's nobody in line. And he said, we'll have Jeanette Anderson do it. She knows, she's been sitting there a long time. She knows how it's ran. So in a meeting that I said I'm leaving, somebody said, no, you're going to run the whole region.
You got a promotion.
You got a promotion. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there like, so the cool thing that happened is I've always been one of those people like, I don't want to be one of five people nominated, and then I got to worry about if everybody's going to vote on me, if I get a majority vote. For some reason, that mm-hmm. is a rejection thing for me, which, guess what? That goes with the I personality.
That's right.
I went into this meeting on this Saturday with the whole region there. I had got a phone call on Tuesday night from Dallas ISD from somebody in their division saying, hey, Dallas ISD is going to nominate you on Sunday because there has to be a formal nomination. And I'm driving, and a godly man calls me on the phone, a really good friend, and says, hey, are you headed to the meeting? Yes. How do you feel about this? And I said, well, you know, I prayed about this morning, and I literally said, God, if you want me to do this, this has to be unanimous, a vote. So I know your hand is in. I cannot have a question. And then I sort of backed out of it and said, you know, God, maybe you don't want 99. I mean, maybe you want 98 and 2, and maybe I'm wrong for saying unanimous, but I have to know your hand is in it. There can't be a question. I went into the meeting for the high school chair to say, you know, we're going to nominate something, and it has to be a person who has been in a role, in a leadership position, and he explains what it's got to be. They have to, at some point in their life, done this to, for them to even be nominated. And I'm standing there going, I hate this. And mm-hmm. Dallas stands up and nominates me, and no one else is nominated.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear the Lord go, is that unanimous enough? I'm just like,
yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm here. So
yeah.
Since then, that means that I have ran the competition. I've set up competitions. I've hired judges for UIL. I've hired judges for all region competitions. So it's been like, and the thing I learned this 20 years ago. Before mm-hmm. me, every time there had been a person who had ran these jobs, they would make the decision with themselves and maybe the elect person, but they mm-hmm. necessarily didn't have a team. And from the moment I took in, I called in somebody from every school district, meet with me, tell me what you want, tell me what you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the beginning, because doing all those musicals and doing all the things for years, I had learned that a team can come up with a better product.
Right.
But they would also help buy in with me.
Yeah.
And so I started
wow.
the same with teams.
Mm-hmm.
Go, jump
yeah.
in.
No, it's, you know, I just wanted to interject. You know, you mentioned CFNI, that's Christ for the Nations International, for any of our listeners who don't know. And CFNI has students from all over the world. I mean, it is really a cutting-edge missions, training, teaching organization. And do you still teach there?
I still teach there, and every year I get blessed with, I always have a student that's one of the top two or three every year,
mm-hmm.
and it's just
yeah.
God blesses me year after year.
Yeah.
My
and then
plan
just
been
the,
when I
mm-hmm.
when I retire
go
is to go to work there during the day. I mean, that's sort of been a plan. When I quit the school district, it'd be nice to go in 2 to 3 days a week, like at 12:30. I go in at like
mm-hmm.
4:45 or 5 o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, the other thing that really impresses me is, and I say this all the time, God wants us to know our purpose. And
mm-hmm.
he wants us to fulfill it more than we do. And so people ask me, you know, as they are seeking purpose and they may stumble on something, or you know, a lot of times they do, and they say, what should I do? I say, well, very often you don't have to do anything. God will meet you more than halfway because he wants you to know. And so our purpose, or the fulfillment of our purpose, finds us. And I mean, I don't know what to put words in your mouth, but that certainly seems like it's mm-hmm. been the case in your situation. Would you agree?
Oh, completely. Everything that, and even how he's done it, it's been, everything he's done has been preparation for I'm sending you next.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been very extremely sequential. Even where I'm at today, knowing, you know, I'm at a point I could retire today, and
mm-hmm.
he's not through. We were just invited a month ago to sing at Carnegie Hall next March 2021. And I work with a man, my boss, his name is Ricardo Monreal. He's the headquarter director, and I assist him. And so when he walked in and said, hey, guess what? We're going to Carnegie Hall next year. And I said, well, I guess I'm not retiring until after that. I mean,
right.
You know, okay, I'm not going anywhere. And
mm-hmm.
but in the meantime, I'm writing curriculum for high school and middle school, and I'm vertically aligning it, and I'm seeing where I've actually gone back to the school district and said, can I present this next February at TMEA and show teachers the vertical alignment? And then, like, where we are today, because I was an ITS and we're doing online classes, I'm like, wow, I actually learned this in 2007,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and so you're coming all the way forward. Now combine what do you do every single day, how can we make that online and entertaining, and still,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we're choir, we have to sing, you know,
mm-hmm.
how can we do that? When is Zoom efficient? When is it not efficient? When is it, you
yeah.
know, we use Google Classrooms. So, but, and I just see we're constantly, even now, I just feel like the Lord is saying, go back and pick your media skills back up, because you've
mm-hmm.
not used them as much. And because you don't know that this is not going to be a part of the future. There's going to be more of this as
mm-hmm.
we move forward, not thinking, let us get through this season and it's going to go back to life.
Mm-hmm.
That was what used to be normal. I think he's going to move us to a new normal.
Yeah. No question. And as we were talking at the very beginning, the church is you know, typically going to be slow to the draw on that. And so I think God's not angry. He just wants to take us to a new place. And I've said all along, purpose has to be the cornerstone. I did some interviews last year where talking about we need to change the way we do church, and that sounds so formidable, but I said there are two simple things we could do. Number one, have a purpose pastor, somebody who is there to promote, foster, and take forward the issue of purpose in people's lives, because our people are terrified. They're sitting and they're content with spectating, and they don't always know how to take an active role. The second thing is just to have an online pastor, somebody whose job it is to take who we are as a people and put it online so that it's accessible not just to our locale but to the world. And because we, Matthew 28, we are to go to, you know, to the peoples of the world, and the internet gives us a chance to do that. But churches have been very hesitant because, well, there's nothing in it for us, you know. I mean, we got a big production every weekend, you know, we got to get ready for, and that's just something we don't feel, you know, very committed to. But I think all that is going to change. What church, before all this happened, where were you fellowshipping? Where were you going?
When, you mean now?
Yeah,
oh,
now.
I,
mm-hmm.
When I first met you, okay, well, now we go to Gateway, and
mm-hmm.
we actually go to the North Richland Hills campus.
Okay.
And then you're going to laugh, and then I go every Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock to a church called the Living Savior Ministry out in Justin, mm-hmm. Texas, and it's Thurman Scrivener, who just operates in the giftings of miracles. It's faith.
Mm-hmm.
He has the gift of faith, and I work on their praise team every week. And it's just like, so Sunday's a long day, but I live through the week for it, really.
Yeah,
so
you had an
and
opening.
I think you and I. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I think we met at Christ Temple, which
we
is
did.
Now moved to Carrollton. Yeah. Yes, change
mm-hmm.
names in a completely different church. Yeah.
Yeah, I was in Dallas in December, and I really had it on my heart to call Dan, and Dan Dean. And is he still there at the church?
Martha and everybody could give you all the stuff. I know this past year, if I don't want to tell it wrong, he has now turned the church over to his son, Dusty.
Oh,
but
yes.
But until then, he was there. Yeah, so Dusty is now the senior pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And when, I don't want to say this wrong, his brother, Devin, if I've got it right, is the worship pastor.
Oh,
and
cool.
So they've taken over. And, of course, they're Heartland Church in Carrollton now.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to follow through on that thought of mine. And I'm really trying to use this time, too, to reconnect with people like you,
mm-hmm.
who we were close and connected. And, you know, life happens. And now now life has happened again. And it I want to make the most of these days. I turn 70 next month, so there are no guarantees of how long we're here. Now you were writing me the other day, and I want
to
make
in.
Sure
I turned 65 this past August, so now I have my Medicare card, so I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just ordered my vitamins off of our our local plans Medicare supplements. So yes, I fully understand. You were writing me this week about writing, about something that you've been doing or a new aspect of your writing, and you alluded to that earlier. Just want to make sure,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's all that involve, and how do you see it evolving into the future?
Well, one thing interesting, something I never did, I think I always wanted to do before I met you, but I've done it for 20 years, I journal. And I did not do. Now, there are some seasons I journal every single day. But now it's more like 3 to 4 times. I really look at things to journal that I know is something that I don't want to forget, this piece of my Bible study or whatever I'm doing. So that's been going for 20 years. But when I was at Heartland Church, which was Pastor Steve Hill, who's now deceased, at his church, working with the choir, I was a part of a team of writing musicals. And the reason that is such a critical story to me, and I don't ever share this, and I'm getting ready to share this on your blog, so this is a little scary. In 2008, we wrote a musical called Christmas in the Park. And that musical was all about a woman who literally was homeless living in the park, and there were homeless people. And you know, it's one of those things like you go to the movies and you see all the things tied together. The homeless woman in the park is actually the mother of the little boy who's crippled and being raised by his grandfather because the dad's in prison and all these different things. But the main part of it is the homeless woman literally goes to die. And she gets beat up and all these. So there's this very, very intense scene where demons come in to take her life. I'm writing this with them, and I'm fighting for that scene because that scene, I had lived through it in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
I had had mm-hmm. a moment that I was going to die. And I was faced with death. And I fought that, and there was such an overwhelming sense within me that this scene has to be done this way because all of hell is coming after this woman to take her life. So she will not reach her purpose. And in doing this scene with the choreography, you get to see angels come in carrying this red satin cloth because the warring angels have come in and fought the demons off. But then they drape this woman who's collapsed on the ground with this cloth. It's just red and shimmery. So you and I know that's the blood. I mean, we know. And they did a beautiful mm-hmm. scene. They wrap her up in it. And when we got to the last night, the opening night of it, I'm standing in front of the choir, and we're talking about the different things, getting ready. And the Lord said to me, just like he would be standing right at my shoulder, you almost missed this. He said, if you had died in 2000, and this is now 2009, you or 2008 is when this was, he said, you would have missed this moment. He said, the blanket that you felt that fell on you that day was the blood. And I said, there are people standing all around me, and God's talking to me. And I'm like, no, mm-hmm. God, it was not, because this was heavy. I mean, this was so heavy I couldn't stand up. And he said, yes, Jesus had to shed enough blood, it would cover all the sins of the world.
Mm.
And so from that, we wrote a total of five musicals. Two were patriotic for July the 4th, And they were literally the 30 days leading up to the signing of the Declaration. And then we wrote these three Christmas musicals. And so I've written one now that really I've got to get serious about it. It's actually about children who – my oldest grandson is autistic. And since the moment he's born, I have prayed, you are going to bring him out of this. So he's now a junior in high school and extremely high-functioning. Like, you know that there's something that's not right. But he speaks. He loves people. He's extremely smart. And but I wrote this musical that there are three children, a blind, a deaf, and a crippled child in a time of Christ. And the whole thing is they see the child in the manger. They follow the shepherds. And obviously mm-hmm. It's got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as children in the city, in a small city, Bethlehem. And you're seeing their, oh my goodness, we're seeing their purpose. You're seeing their giftings, even as children. And you're seeing these three children who are crippled and the whole idea of, this is somebody's sin. And it just what it does is at the nativity scene, it fast forwards to 33 years later. You see this child with a red scarf that you saw as a child, and you see Jesus healing these people one at a time for their purposes, though it's going to happen mm-hmm. in the future. And the name of it is, and I have Luke as an adult narrating the whole time. Luke comes out at the end and he goes, today, 2,000 years later, you're still asking the same question. Do you know my name? That mm-hmm. came out of me in 2000 asking, do you know my name, God?
Mm-hmm.
Out of all the people in the world, do you know me? Do I matter? And when God saved me from death, I knew it would never be the same again. And so I laid this musical down because I've been writing curriculum. I write curriculum for the high school and the middle school, and another lady helps, two or three people help with it. But I've gotten, obsessed with it, vertically aligning, do all this, trying to make it perfect. And the Lord is like, he's literally said, you've got to go back and pick the musical from 2008, do the tweaking you want to do that you were not pleased with, and this is the year 2000, bring that back. Because of the powerful message in it. But then bring back, for today, there are so many people in the world that are saying, do you know my name? Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, I journal, and somebody could take my journals and literally, you and I talked about this, literally do a devotional for the brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could literally today do 52 weeks easily. I certainly have enough for 365 days. I don't know if somebody would want to read 365 days. But I have certainly enough things of how many times has God said something to me or made me read something, and I get to church and I'm working with the prayer team, and somebody walks up to me with mm-hmm. the same question that God just answered before mm-hmm. I left my house.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like I'm not just a musician. I'm also a prayer. I'm also a creator. I'm also a leadership that is – and so if you look who I was in 2001 – I'm not that person anymore. You can see that foundation was there. But this journey has been line upon line, precept upon precept. You think you're there. I kept saying this year, I'm 65. God, what is there left for me to do? He said, well, you've always wanted to have a fine arts academy. Why don't you start scoping it? Well, God, I'm not going to be here to run. Why don't you develop it? And why don't you get ready to go and build it the way you want to and then find the person you want to turn it over to? Why can't that be your legacy? Not that you have to work there for 20 years. Why can't you create it? Because you've taught elementary, you've taught middle school, you've taught high school, and you teach college. You get it from the kindergartner through the highest level. That's when you know. But the biggest thing was in 2003 when you and I were on the phone so much, I had to make a decision. And I was not where I was supposed to be. And I cannot tell you, it was painful. It was painful because I thought that's where I wanted to be. And it was like, it wasn't working because it wasn't time. And so for me as a person who struggled with rejection, the hardest season was to say, I have to walk away from here. I can't do this. And have I had hard seasons? Yes, there have been difficult seasons in the learning, in the process, in the journey. But through all of it, let me just tell you, recently I went to a leadership meeting at Gateway, and they've been using me on the prayer team. They've been using me to do group meetings for Bible studies and things, but never been an open door for me in music there. And so I don't walk in and say, you know, I'm over Region 20. Why don't you hire me? I don't. Uh-huh. They know what they want, and also I'm 65. I mean, like, does Gateway really want to hire a 65-year-old person for the praise team? So I walked in meeting, and I knew one of the pastors, and I said, you know, I'm sitting over here, and the Lord is saying to me, Jeanette, what's my gifting? And I said, music. And I said, but God, there is no open door here. And so I went to this pastor. I said, please pray with me. I will do whatever you want me to do, and I will be happy to do it. But I feel like I'm not in the right place, and I know my gifting's in music. I want you to know, 2 weeks later, my son teaches once a month the healing, how to be healed for that campus, and then they have a healing class after it. 2 weeks later, he comes up. He goes, hey, Mom, we need somebody to play the piano for a whole hour, but you cannot play songs that people know because they'll start singing along. You just are doodling at the piano for a solid hour. Can you do that? And I'm like, yes, in my sleep. Like, in my sleep. And within 2 weeks, and so that same pastor came back to me 2 weeks after that. So he said, you remember we prayed about that? And I said, yeah, sorry. So I see you in the healing room, and it's like, he said, I've gotten so many comments. God just says be available, but know who you are. I mean, I had to have that clear moment that, God, I'm trying to do these Bible studies, and I study the Bible every day, and I can quote scripture, but I don't think that's my gifting. I love the Word, and I will sit and talk Word with you, and we'll put it into our praying all day long. But, God, you really made me a musician, and that's where you kissed my life. And he proved it. Like, and he kept saying, you're not done, Jeanette. It's just going to look different.
Yeah. It's part of the kingdom. I mean, God assigns us. And, you know, a lot of times people think church is the epitome. And for some it can be. But for others it isn't. And you stayed loyal to the church, but you stayed loyal to your purpose. And God opened and continues to open many doors for you. It's just so exciting. And let me just put in a plug. If you want to do the devotional, just let me know, and we'll get started, because I think it would be just something very special, because it's born out of such reality in your own life. But it's the story. We're getting to the age where our stories have some resolution, you know, and you can see the fruit that was born in your life as you went through some of the really difficult times, and I didn't want to focus on them, and I'm glad you didn't on this show, but it was tough for you, but you stayed faithful and true, and most importantly, you stayed true to the church, but at the same time, your purpose came front and center, and again, great examples of people knocking on your door, people, and I've heard that happen so often, and again, I go back to the reality that God wants everyone, wants our listeners to know what their purpose is. If you're committed to know, he's committed to tell you. And if you're not afraid, then you can engage and embrace new opportunities. And who knows where it'll all end up. We just got just a few minutes, Jeanette. You've given so much practical advice already. Anything else? Somebody's listening and saying, you don't understand, and you know, I'm having trouble finding my purpose. I don't know what gives me joy. And any words of encouragement, any direction for them? And again, you've already shared so much. If you just want to summarize some things, that's fine too.
I think what comes to me immediately is the scriptures that seek me and you'll find me. The thing is, I went through a really, really dark season last year. My mother died and there were some other things that happened. And it was the darkest season I'd gone through since 2000. And the one thing I learned, and this is what I would leave with people, because I have read the Bible and studied the Bible, I would not go to bed until God blessed me. And well, here's what I'm saying, what I mean. I would say, God, I'm going to get on YouTube and listen to every pastor I know, every person who touches my heart, but I am not going to bed until I hear from you. I mean, that began to be a cry in my heart. I will not go to sleep until I've heard from you. It's either going to be a song, it's going to be a word that somebody speaks. And there were specific people that, you know, that I had already over the years began to be pastors and prophets and people that I listened to. And in those seasons, when you are a person and you're saying, man, I just don't know what my purpose is, call somebody. There are people who know. As a teacher and a mentor, I look at teachers coming on, and I can tell you within 1 year, you're in the wrong field. Like, this isn't your field. Maybe it will be later, but right now it's not. And I would just say, if you think you want to get into music and you're not sure about committing to 4 years, go volunteer for a music teacher. Go for 6 weeks. Go one class a week. If you are looking for joy, go find the person who has joy. And if you don't know how to do that, look at the scripture. I heard one of the best things this week. If you sit and just laugh for 60 seconds, you will start laughing and find joy. And I thought, what a word. You know, we sometimes say do it until it happens. But the fact is there are people who want to help you. Do like I did to that minister. That night I said to him, I just don't know what to do. I didn't get a funny or a fuzzy feeling from him like he was going to solve it. I just went to the person that I knew, and I said, pray with me, agree with me. I'm not where I'm supposed to be there. And God honors that. Matthew 18:19, if two of us agree on anything, it shall be done. Find one other person to pray with. Lord, I don't know where I'm supposed to be. And then walk that road like I did in 2000 until he closes the door. Because I wanted to be at that church. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be successful. I wanted to be a shining star for them. And the truth was, when it was over, I wasn't. I was just a person who passed through in that season. But there were. But it forced me to say, this isn't it. And then God was able to say immediately, this is it. Walk until he closes the door. Pick up a phone. Call somebody. Don't isolate.
And that's how it was for me as a pastor. I mean, what's wrong? You know, why can't I enjoy pastoring? And when I just acknowledged that there was something missing, that's when I got the opportunity to work with Integrity Music and travel the world. And it, you know, it was something perfectly suited to who he created me to be. Well, Jeanette, thank you, my dear. It has been wonderful to reconnect and to hear so many exhilarating, exciting stories in your life. And can I pray with you before we leave?
I would love it. I would love it.
You know, well, Father, I thank you for Jeanette. My friend, we have been together a lot of years, and I thank you for your faithfulness to her, and I thank you for her faithfulness to you. And Lord, she has so many gifts and such enthusiasm and such energy, and I pray, Lord, that you would on one hand focus it, but Lord, focus it like a wide river. Lord, just let it flow. Let her not be afraid. Let her not think, oh, I've got to be careful. I can't do too much. Oh, I better, you know, I'm not getting any younger. No, Lord, just let it flow. Give her people around her. Just let her have a choir, not of singers, but of purpose people whose voice it is to complement what it is that you have called and created her to do, so that they can join together and these various streams coming together and let this river just flow let it be an enjoyable time too. And I pray for her family. I pray for her in this time that you would allow her to use it to enhance her purpose, but also get some rest and get a renewed and a refreshed perspective on the next chapter of her life, because there is plenty more where that came from. So I thank you that she's been willing to share so freely and openly, and we just pray that you would use her story this time to encourage people all over the world, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All righty. Let's not let it be another 10 years, okay?
Amen. Well, as long as you keep doing daily broadcasts, I'm at home, I'm going to be listening.
Sounds good. All righty, take care. God bless you. And again, thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, there you had could you tell Jeanette is a high eye on the DISC profile? I mean, she can communicate, and she's enthusiastic. She has no loss for words. That's who she is. That's who God made her to be. Who did God make you to be? And what are you willing to do? What are you able to do in this time to help you find and prepare yourself to fulfill your purpose? Well, I want to pray one more time. I said at the beginning of the show we wanted to pray for our partners around the world. So let's go ahead and do that, and then we'll wrap up for today. And I will be back tomorrow. I'm not sure exactly who I'm going to have. I'm trying to identify and get somebody to call in from Kenya that can give us a report. If not, I'll have somebody else. And if I don't have a guest, then I'll spend a little bit of time talking with you about some of the things that are on my heart. But, Father, we pray now for our brothers and sisters, our friends in Nigeria and Kenya and Zimbabwe and South Africa and Colombia, all the places I've been, Lord, but they're almost every nation is touched now. So we lift up our brothers and sisters, and we pray, Lord, that the promises of Psalm 91 would rest over their dwelling places, that you would preserve them and protect them mentally and physically, Lord. And should any virus get through, Lord, we then look to your healing power, that it would flow through their bodies, that they would have a testimony of your goodness and your faithfulness. But be with them, Lord. Protect them as people get anxious in their cultures and even in our own culture, Lord. Protect us. And may you be glorified in this season as your people embrace who it is that you've created us to be and make our decisions now of what we're going to do and be when we emerge from this season. So thank you for this time. Thank you for the people who have listened. Thank you for Jeanette. And again, be with our partners in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's it for today. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. In the meantime, wake up to purpose, because God has something for you to do that only you can do. Talk to you again tomorrow. Till then, so long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.